We shall be part.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us.
We're here for the roll call. And Peter?
John,
I'm sorry. From Youth and Governance. School, the minutes from the previous meeting. We have on your sheet, it'll have a couple of dates that aren't. It would be the October 7th and the October 14th meeting. On your minutes, it's the proper date. Moved by Supervisor Nudo to approve the minutes of October 7th and 14th.
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Skolitsky. Any comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance? Opposed? Carried. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and governance. Governance comments. If you were here, you just heard John mention the Emerald Ash Borer. I had a meeting with a forester that we had hired to do an assessment of our properties, county executive and his assistant, and a representative of the DNR on our status as far as Emerald Ash Borer and Emerald and our ash population. We will be bringing this to the committee in the future, but just a brief update. I'll take Fox River Park as an example. Exact numbers I'm not on, but we have approximately 1,200 ash in Fox River Park. Brightondale, I think we're near 1,400 in the park, and then the golf course is at Pets, I think we're in 1,200 or 1,400. So these are big numbers that we have as far as the ash. I was under the assumption that we would have a little bit more time. Mr. Rudy has shown me, and the staff has shown me, some large elm that survived, if you remember when we had the Dutch elm disease that we have in Fox River Park. Doesn't always take every tree. What I learned from the people from the DNR and from the forester that was hired by the county to do the assessment is that the Emerald Ash Borer is a little bit different animal, and our population, we can expect, even though we've found and cut down a couple trees, we can expect 5 to 8 years total extinction of our ash trees. We are, again, as I said, as a committee, we will look at this doing a total assessment as far as what it would take to reestablish. There's going to be certain areas. If you look at Pets, there's some huge areas of oak. You know, you're not affected when you're up in the hills up there. There's a lot of oak. When you get into Fox River Park and you get down to the lowlands along the river, there's a lot of ash. They like wet feet. They grow there naturally. So we would not be looking at a one-for-one replacement when we, you know, when we did something like this. If you get a chance to go along Fox River Park, unless they remove them, the staff didn't mark for the county executive, for people that didn't know ash trees, just what's an ash tree along Highway F. And you can see that they grow in clumps. There may be three trees within Supervisor Skolitsky and I. You know, so when we were looking at reestablishing, we would not be looking at planting three trees in that area. You know, you'd be looking at planting one. We would want recommendations from the state and from other states that have already experienced this. You know, it had moved from the East Coast. In my business, we quit planting ash trees about 8 years ago because it was coming. And people have been selling their ash trees from Wisconsin out to Colorado because they're 10 years away, the wholesalers have. So this is something that's going to be big before this committee. It'll be something that, in talking to the county executive, we will probably set up a five-year plan as far as removal with our staff over a period of time and then replacement. But it's going to be something that's going to be a large item in the budget for certain portions of our landscape. When you get into the golf course, then we'll, you know, have separate meetings on that, because Dan will tell you, some trees come into play and some don't. They have been, for speed of play, and for the quality of the golf course, removing some tree lines and underbrush. Say at Brightondale, we do have a lot of oak, but we've got a lot of ash. I think that's another one where it was 1,200 or 1,400. So it's going to come into play, replacement of those trees that reflect what you need on the golf course, and then aesthetically. So it's an item that's going to be large here as we go on. The other thing I'd like to comment on would be meetings I've had with a corporate entity concerning some volunteering and donating of work and material and equipment at the Katy Park. And if you look at, I brought a bunch of maps, but John already included, so if you look at the back page of the Parks report, you'll see two maps. One of them shows a new road off our existing road, parking area, and boat ramp. And these are tentative plans. The boat ramp would be for the dive teams. We've heard the interest from the dive teams and the rescue squads for not only practice, but for access to the lake in case they ever did have to respond there. The other map would show something to alleviate the problem that we have at the north end of the park with the concerns from the town of Wheatland on people crossing the road there. So what that shows is a small parking area on the west side of Highway KD, as close and as easy a walk to the dam as what people are doing now crossing the road. These two plans are being worked on by our engineers so that the public or the corporate entity that we've been talking to can come up with a plan as to when, how, and where we approach these. We do need a set of plans. We are going to have slight expense because you can't just get on a dozer and start moving land. Anybody that's ever put in a road knows, and since this land was purchased with some state money, there are some requirements for drainage and things. So we need a set of plans so that a guy that's on a piece of equipment can actually install these things. So this is a very raw plan. This was just something to show you, to show where we're looking at and what's being proposed. In the next 2 months, I'm thinking we'll have something that we can look at closer, and then we can share with the public and with the firm that's looking at doing this donating for us. So that's all I have this evening. Any other committee members?
This recycled aggregate parking, is that going to be from the piles of blacktop and concrete over on the property?
Yeah. It would be our aggregate, right?
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Where's Kliske?
With regards to kind of the intent of the term, will either you or perhaps Director Simpson want to share that a little bit with the town of Wheatland or some things?
I have.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Anything else? You're the governance? Anything? Citizens' comments. Any citizens wish to comment? There are none here. We will move on to golf. New business.
November was not a good month for the golf courses with the early cold weather. Revenue and rounds are down overall for the year. We're working to keep our expenses under control. If you want to look at the backside of my report, you'll see you know, we're down about 7,042 rounds for the year over last year. And, you know, the big hits were March and April and June at both courses. And then after that, you know, we recovered a little bit. And then November, we were down almost 1,000 rounds again in November. So it was a difficult month for us. We're down about 7%. And the golf playable hours are down around 14% or 10 to 14%, depending on if you go by the National Golf Foundation or the holistic perspective of the golf playable hours in this area. So we're down about a little less than, you know, with the golf playable hours. We did have four tournaments this fall, though. They all went very well. We had the Taylor Clark Memorial charity outing, and we raised over $7,000 for the family. It was also good for the golf course. We had 84 participants and 108 for dinner. So that was something that was brought to our attention at the golf course, and we ran with it. And it was good for the family and good for us, and hopefully created some goodwill for us. We did have two Halloween Horrors. This has been an ongoing tournament that has really blossomed in the last couple of years. We did even go up $5 in our fee this year, in our entry fee, and we still sold it out. We had 104 players on Saturday and 108 players on Sunday, and everybody really enjoyed that tournament. And then we had the Brightondale Open, which is a 27-hole scramble, November 4th, and we had 116 participants in that. And the winners of that tournament won a season pass for next year. So we're really going to put some more focus on having fun events, our own club events next year, and hopefully that that will really help us kick off a good season next spring even. The food and beverage staff did excellent this year. We served almost 2,700 fish fries between the two golf courses. And Brightondale food and beverage sales were actually surpassed last year. Pets was a little off, but they were off a little bit more around. So, you know, that's to be expected. And also the golf shop sales were up at Brightondale for the year, too. So, 2013 had a lot of peaks and valleys. You know, it's tough spring weather to start, the tough fall weather to finish. You know, I really feel that we have a very marketable product. I think that people are very proud of it. I mean, with all the comments that I get, you know, when I'm out there, Petrifying Springs was voted by the Kenosha News as their favorite golf course in the Kenosha County. Brightondale Link was third, and the only one in between was Kenosha Country Club. So I think that's a very great testimonial to, you know, the conditions and the service that people are getting out there. And I think that, 2014 is, you know, very promising for us. So we have a lot of good things in store, and we're looking forward to getting after it again for next year.
Thanks, Dan. Any questions for Dan? Kliski?
Are you guys going to stay open through the end of November? Or?
No, both places are closed. Okay. Yeah, both places we closed. Yeah, the 21st was our last day at both places. It was just too cold. The 10-day forecast was really poor, and we were able to lay off all the staff. And so we have a couple maintenance workers working on emerald ash trees, but we're working a reduced amount of hours so that, you know, we're paying them, you know, as much as they would be getting in unemployment, basically.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Okay, we'll move on to facilities. Right.
Chairman, I just got a quick update. The 60th Street Tower, if you've driven by, we had several sections sub-assembled, and we erected up to 120 feet. This tower crane, we did get delayed with some high winds for about a week and a half there last month, but I was able to get the electrical a little ahead of schedule, so we're not too bad yet. So the big crane is actually going to be in tomorrow, and we'll have it fully erected 113 feet. Then we've got hooking in the antennas, the cabling, things like that. Any questions on the tower project? I'll move on to the KCDC HVAC controls, working with our engineer, working with our staff, and Kane. we went ahead and we were able to do three of the 10 HVAC units to digital control. Even though we don't have the VAV boxes done yet, we did, Ron Henning started this before he left. We do have the staff there converting as many as they can between their other jobs, but it's a slow process. So, and they had to go back out again for an HVAC engineer. The guy that they offered it to turned it down. So, but we are making progress on both fronts. It's just not as fast as we would like. Any questions on that? If not, I'll turn it over to Jim Comfort for the
your we did speak to Carol O'Neill, and she informed us that she talks weekly to the realtor, and the realtor really doesn't have much to report. There have been a few showings, but the showings are the people who have been in to see it, the comments are the same, that the place needs a lot of work, and nothing, there haven't been any offers or any nibbles yet. I think it's about the same as it was last month. We asked Carol not to come out here just to make that report, so she...
It's a good idea.
She said she would have, but we said that's okay.
All right. It looks like we're going to be, excuse me, looks like we're going to be stuck with that Yule House then for a while?
I don't know. It's been a few months, and I've heard the same report every month now for 3 months in a row, so.
What's our plan B?
Halloween. They do a big thing with Halloween, these horror houses that they put in.
Plan B?
Yep.
I think people are very open to suggestions on Plan B or C.
That's why we should still look at C.
All right, Frank.
The KCAB restoration, they got approved, in, as you know, the CIP. We did a pre-qualification process for the bidders, just like we did at the courthouse, to make sure that they all met standards, and actually we'll be completing that tomorrow and let them know. The bids will be due the beginning of January, and we're scheduling the work to begin mid-March.
Yeah, that's pretty clear, and that's been our schedule now, so it's very good. Any questions for Frank on that? All right, Frank, thank you. We'll move on to highways.
Passed out a copy of a notice for a public informational meeting that we'll be conducting on Wednesday at Pleasant Prairie Elementary School for the Highway C and H intersection reconstruction that's going to occur next summer. Attached to the notice is a preview of what we're going to present at the meeting, which is a roundabout design. We've been contemplating different designs at the intersection, and everything comes back to the roundabout our goal is to keep traffic moving and to keep it moving safely and efficiently, and the roundabout at this particular intersection design just really fits well and we think will work very well. It's a simple single lane roundabout, very similar to the one that we built at Highway C and MB, except the diameters would be a little bit larger to accommodate particularly the north-south movement. If you look at that design, you can see where the north-south movement on Highway H will be able to get through the roundabout very efficiently, and that is now the predominant movement of traffic. That the Highway C still carries a fairly high volume, but Highway H in the north-south direction is the predominant movement of traffic, including trucks. Is it there? There are no trucks allowed on Highway C west of this intersection. So there's no right-of-way acquisition necessary for this project. There's nobody's trees are being cut down. There's the driveways of two residents will be slightly extended, but even that, very, very little impact on any of the adjacent property owners. So that was one of the directives to the engineer, and I think they've been successful in accomplishing that. So this, actually, there's not going to be a whole lot more detail presented at the public informational meeting other than what you see. There'll be a little bit more, and certainly the goal of the meeting is to answer any questions that that anyone has about the project itself and about the construction phase of this, which we're looking at completing between June 1st and September 1st of next year. The detour route we're looking at it will actually be often in two different directions. It'll be up, all the trucks will be required to use Highway 31. Cars will be allowed to use Bain Station Road and 104th. And we'll be installing some temporary four-way stops at H and Bain Station and Highway C and Bain Station in order to make sure that those intersections operate smoothly. So that's the project in a nutshell, and we're like I said, we're not going to have a whole lot more information at the meeting on Wednesday. If you know, certainly welcome to attend if you'd like, but I don't, other than visiting with some of the residents that will likely be there, they're probably not learn a whole lot more.
Questions, Doug?
Yeah, it's in my district, so I have a couple questions. First of all, to the east, that's cattails and whatnot, and over there, and a fairly big drop. So what do they do? What do they do about that? Backfill it all? And
yeah, we're already working with the DNR on the mitigating the wetlands, so we definitely need to do that, and then there may be some sloping easements required on that east side where we encroach a little bit into that adjacent property just with some fill dirt, but we're trying to even avoid that at this point. But yeah, it's there's a considerable, it's a fill project, and we intend to use some fly ash stabilization for the soils. It's a really cost-effective way to stabilize the soils, and that's currently our plan.
Anywhere the existing Highway C surfaces, is that going to be left, or is that going to be filled in with grass?
That would be filled in with grass.
Okay. And the driveways, are they going to have, I mean, it looks like they're somewhat within the ingress and egress, especially as one of the, you know, the island that splits everything, the one on the west side, is that going to be a problem for him to get in and out of his driveway?
They'll have full access to both sides of the road. If it's necessary that the median gets extended in front of his driveway, it'll be depressed and to a level that's flush with the adjacent pavement, so that that driveway, that person will be able to get across. We're not going to prohibit their access from either direction.
This is actually the intersection I was talking about, where you could probably talk about it better, but this particular person used to get quite regularly cars in their yard until they put in a flashing stop light, and it made a huge difference. A regular stop sign wasn't doing it.
Yeah, I think from our experience so far with intersection of Highway C and MB, that roundabout's been open for almost exactly 1 year. It opened, I believe, on December 1st of last year, and there have been no crashes there for 12-month period. It's just, they've just completely eliminated them. So I think, you know, firsthand experience is, you know, the safety aspect of these is just, you can't argue that. And I don't believe they're appropriate for every location. I've gone on the record recently opposing one on Highway 45 and 142. So I don't feel they are appropriate for every location, but this one, it just particularly works well.
Well, it actually kind of explains why I've always wondered why they didn't continue that the four lanes all the way through there. And it looks like they stopped it right about where this roundabout's going to start up.
Yeah, the way this roundabout is positioned in that triangular area, we have positioned it so that we could add an additional lane onto the roundabout in the future should the traffic volumes warrant it. It would involve right-of-way acquisition, but we actually do have a double roundabout design similar to this, and we just eliminated one of the lanes to make it a single roundabout for now, because the traffic volumes don't warrant it. But if at some point in the future the traffic volumes do warrant it, we actually would be able to add on to this without having to, you know, remove what is shown on this plan. It would just be an add-on.
Looks good.
Anything else for Gary on that?
Okay. Gary, it looks like on the far right and left, there's whether it's a multi-use lane or a bike lane, and obviously it doesn't line up with either one of these roads. Could we just kind of put in as part of this construction, and then in the future, if there's add-ons or is there something?
There is an existing a project to add bike lanes onto Highway H from Highway 50 to the state line, so that the north-south direction, it will be transitioned into those bike lanes. What you're seeing on here is actually multi-use path, this project is partially funded by state funds, and we are required by state law to accommodate bicycles and pedestrians on our project. So it does tie into it, that existing project on Highway H, but on the Highway C leg, it would just be to accommodate future extensions of any bike or pedestrian facilities.
Okay, thanks.
Anything else, Kirby?
No.
Thank you very much. Mr. Rudy.
Report.
Or whatever, however you want to
know. No, master plan was just two maps.
Right.
And then the rates.
Mm-hmm.
And the approval of the 2014 park rates. Okay. Nothing has changed except the dates. The rates, we didn't raise any rates, we didn't lower any rates. So exactly the same as they were in 2013.
And how did we change the dates? You said the dates were changed?
Yeah, because Memorial Day, Labor Day, all that stuff falls on a different day.
Okay.
That's the only thing that's changed.
Great. Any discussion? Anybody have any thoughts or ideas on that? Mike?
Had you considered, I don't want to make it sound like increasing, but if there's any justification due to demand on any of the facilities where an increase in any fees, especially with the big, now what I mean is primarily Memorial Day, 4th of July, or Labor Day, or big usage.
No, we actually, our beach attendance went backwards again this year.
Okay.
I don't know why. It's been increasing again the last few years, but then this summer it went the other way, and I don't know why. So,
so leave them as is and see that it happens. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask for a motion to approve these rates. This doesn't have to go to the county board.
Move to approve.
Second.
Move the second to approve the rates for the 2014 season. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Read the governance.
Aye.
Question. Motion carries. Yes.
Could it be, when you said that the use of the Silver Lake Park was down, is that from weekend charges, the number of people that pay to get in?
Right. For
could,
the
it,
beach.
Could it be that we've got that walkway now and we still have the same amount of people?
No. We go pretty much by the cars coming in. We charge by the car.
By the car, yeah. But maybe a lot of people are using our new walkway.
Oh, not that many more than they used to. A lot of them, you know, a few folks that ride in with their bikes haven't been coming for the beach. They maybe stop and get a hot dog and keep going.
Beautiful walkway.
We had a lousy early summer and spring. You know, that's going to say a lot. It set it for our golf courses, so our parks.
Thank you.
All right, then, John, your report here.
Okay, Kemper Path, that opened for business right around Halloween. The trail signs were sitting at the sign shop. The guy who made them kind of forgot to let us know they were finished. So Joe picked those up today. We'll get them up. I attached a photo of the riverbank repair at Petrified Springs. You can see how close that was coming to parking area one. So we won't lose our new parking lot now. That's all finished up. Katy Park, we're working right now with 4-H and everybody again to do a youth fishing derby on January 11th, at least that's the tentative date. The other thing is Paul Swartz Nursery donated 42 trees to us again this year. And when I say they've been donating to us for 15 years, that's about the time they've been emptying their shop yard and giving them to us. Prior to that, Swartz has literally given us thousands of trees. A lot of times they'll just say, you know, these are getting a little too big, you want to come with your tree spade? Just take them out. So I mean, it's been, I moved out there in 89 to Fox River Park, and it's been since then that they've been giving us trees that I know of. So it's been a lot of trees. They've been a big help to us. The Emerald Ash Borer, like I said, I wasn't able to attend that meeting, but the chairman did, and he briefed you folks on that. A couple other things. We had the Cold Turkey Disc Golf Tournament this last weekend. We had 90 golfers, and again, we don't run that. We let Terry Miller, the designer of the course, run that. And again, that's all he can accommodate. He just can't put any more than 90 on it on a shotgun. So the other thing too is the mountain bike trails at Silver Lake Park. The folks we had working on them, or have working on them, are so afraid they'll make a mistake, they actually are consulting for professional help with other people they know so that they can build what they feel will be a world-class mountain bike trail over there. And again, when they're done, there'll be 10 miles of mountain bike trails in Silver Lake Park, all on the north side of the main road. So it won't flow out into where we're building into this golf course or anything else. And the trails will be used, it could be used for cross-country skiing. You can hike on them as long as you walk them facing bikers so that they see you. So, I mean, it's not like they're just exclusively just for mountain bikers, but they're a real enthusiastic group and they've got quite a bit done. They built a beginner's loop over by the soccer fields. So when mom brings the kids that are playing soccer, and she can also just bring the kids' bikes, so they've got kind of an oval track with humps and bumps with an area where mom can sit in the middle and watch the kids do mountain bike trails around them. They're working hard at it. They're doing a really nice job. And that's all I have.
Any questions for John on anything?
Thank you very much, Tom. So I believe we're in the...
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second by... Oops.
Mike.
Mike Skalitsky. All those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? To the governors? Thank you very much.